We have all probably seen the movie about the mummy. Boris Karloff, the mummy. In case you don't know what it is, it's a movie about curses that this mummy places upon people. The treasure hunters, if they try to steal some treasure from the tombs, the curse is that the mummy will come get you. Well, in the movie, that's exactly what he does. He comes to get you. But there's another type of curse that we need to be thinking about. The curse of the mummy is fictional. So we really don't spend much time evaluating our life according to the curse of the mummy. But the curse of God is a different matter. He has revealed in the scriptures that there is a curse upon mankind because of the rebellion of Adam and Eve and now the rebellion of you and I. And because God is relational, there is relations within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And because man is made in the image of God, therefore the curse of God plays out, is manifested in relationships that we have. And that first ruined relationship is the relationship of man to himself, you to yourself. The scripture says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Well, what does that mean? It means, one thing, that Adam's attitude about himself changed. Adam's attitude, understanding, thoughts about who he is and what he is to do, it changed. Why do people go to the gym all the time? Why do they go on diets? Why do they try to do this? They change their appearances. Why do they do that? That's the outworking of the curse of God. Because people are not satisfied with who they are. And so they try in this way or that way to try to improve themselves or to satisfy their idea of what is right. Hollywood, you know, makes billions of dollars off of this concept. They will sell you stuff to make you look better and feel better because they know that you struggle with how you look, with what you do. And you struggle with that because your eyes have been opened and you realize that you are not what you should be. You don't know really what the problem is. You just know that you are not satisfied with who you are. But what has really happened is that Adam and Eve, they have divested of themselves their original righteousness. You see, they didn't worry about what they did. They didn't worry about what they looked like until they ate the fruit. Before, they had their own original righteousness that had been created in them by God. But once they rebelled, they lost that. And so now they begin to try to change things about themselves. They make fig leaves, trying to make themselves feel better about what they are and what they have done. They were divested of something, even though they were wearing nothing. They had taken something off, even though they hadn't put anything on. Their nakedness was the nakedness of the guilt of the soul. And they desperately wanted to cover it up. And of course, this manifests itself in their relationships. Adam and Eve fled the light of God. They hid from God. And Adam and Eve did what we do today. We flee from the presence of God. And we try to build our own world. And we want others to see us through that world we build instead of seeing us through the redemption of Jesus Christ. The soul will always flee the presence of God. You ever try to put a cat in a box? It's not the most fun thing to do. Cats don't mind jumping in a box, but they don't want the lid to be closed on them. Like a cat in a box, trying to get out, screaming and scratching. That's what our soul does to us when we come in the presence of God. We scream. We try to flee. We don't want to be boxed in. John the Apostle puts it this way. He says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." Everyone who does evil hates the light. You ever done anything evil? Well, you don't need to raise your hand because I know. Yes, you have. So have I. Everyone who does evil hates the light. That's what we used to do. We hated the light of God. And we will not come into the light for fear that our deeds will be exposed. This is Adam and Eve's situation. This is our situation. They had no peace within themselves, no rest for their souls. We have no peace within ourselves, no rest for our souls. The relationship that they had within themselves had been broken. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know what they were. They knew in our time nomenclature that they had a bad self-image. But they didn't know what the answer was. This is what's wrong with everybody today. This is the origin of loneliness. This is the origin of despair. Once again, Hollywood makes a lot of money off of presenting this type of concept, this biblical concept, for entertainment purposes. The homelessness within our human spirit. We are created by God. We are created for God. But Hollywood presents us godless. And we have turmoil within. The next relationship that is broken by sin is the relationship of the husband and wife, or neighbor to neighbor. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 12, the man passes the blame upon the woman and then ultimately blames God for giving him the woman. Adam, what did you do? God, it's the woman you gave me. It's ultimately your fault. You did it. You brought this woman into my life and she has made a wreck of it. You ever think like that, gentlemen? And then when God pronounces the curse on the woman, God states that her desire will be for her husband, but he will rule over you. This is a hard and difficult statement. And I'm going to say it anyway, and people may just walk by the front door and not talk to me about this. You know what this means? This means, wives, that it's going to be your tendency. It's going to be your desire to control your husband and to dominate the relationship. But the scriptures say, the man will rule over you. What does that mean? It means the headship of the man over the woman. It's established in creation. But now with sin in the picture, the man is going to continually try to rule over you harshly. Her rebellion is a reaction against his leadership, and the husband's harsh control is an attempt to subdue her. Man, husbands and wives, because of sin, not God's intention, but because of sin, y'all have been put in the ring. And instead of trying to get along with one another, you're boxing each other in the face. And you know what I'm talking about. Thus, the marital relationship, you see, is greatly affected by sin. The point is that when we lose our relationship to God, not just husband and wife, but all human relationships will be ruined. This is why we have divorce. This is why we have fighting. This is why we have quarreling. The last relationship to be broken in this relationship between man, within man, is man and the creation itself. Look what the scripture says in Genesis 3. We find the curse of the man. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Anybody here got the perfect job that you just love and everything goes all right all the time? No. You know that work is difficult and sometimes very unpleasant. That's the outworking of the curse of God between man and the creation. The creation is actually fighting against you. You will be able to plant the seed and it will grow and produce food and fruit for you. But you're going to do it by the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to tame the creation because it is no longer on your side. It is working against you. And that becomes apparent when you say, I about had it with this job. What's that old country song? Take this job and do something with it, you know? It's funny, when I come into work at the hospital and I'm passing the first day shift, you know, I'm a night shift guy, and you see them and you say to them, how you doing? And they go, I got 15 minutes and then I'll be doing fine. Mm-hmm. You know what they're talking about? They're talking about the struggles of just plain work. The struggles of just plain work. You've got them. I've got them. We've all got them. Why do we got them? Because of sin. Sin has affected the relationship of mankind with the creation. And here's another thing to think about. The earth is now going to work against you. You know, as a blister on your heel, and you're trying to keep going, and how that hinders you. So the earth is going to work against you. But get this. From dust you are, and to dust you will return. Instead of man ruling over the earth, now the earth is going to rule over him. Instead of planting things in the ground in order that food would grow, now ultimately you're going to be planted in the ground. It is interesting that in Genesis chapter 5, where Moses is listing the children of Adam, what we find is that every time Moses lists a child of Adam, he also says, and they died. Next person up, and they died. Next person up, and they died. You know, you can, in Genesis chapter 3, you can find every verse of the Bible, every idea, every subject matter of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. Well, preacher, I don't know about that. What about in John, where it says there at the death of Lazarus, it says that Jesus wept. Now, where is that in Genesis chapter 3? It's all over Genesis chapter 3, because Genesis chapter 3 is about the death of relationships. The relationship of man with himself, man with God, man with others, mankind with creation. But we're not left without hope. For as God is announcing all of these curses, he also says to the devil, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." You see, here's the first announcement of the Messiah. Here's the first announcement that God is going to do something about the sin of Adam and Eve, and now the sin of all of mankind. God's going to do something about it, because he's not going to live without his people, and he's not going to let his people live without him. Okay? Satan, you tricked Adam and Eve. Well, guess what? I'm declaring war on you. And my second Adam, my last Adam, though you may bruise his heel, he's going to crush your head. And then from Genesis all the way to Revelation, that's what the story is about. It's about Jesus Christ crushing the head of Satan and delivering you from the curse. We are not left without hope. This is the first promise of a Redeemer. He says that the seed of the woman is Jesus Christ. Satan struck the heel of Christ on the cross, but it was on the cross and the resurrection of Christ that crushes the head of Satan. In Jesus Christ, all of these relationships are healed. The relationship of us and God, the relationship of us within ourselves, the relationship of us with our spouses or with each other, and the relationship of mankind with creation. It is such this way that the Apostle Paul kind of sums it all up, and he says, we have a ministry of reconciliation. We have a ministry of reconciliation. It is the practicing of reversing the effects of the curse. When you love one another, when you forgive one another, you see, that is the work of the second Adam. That is the work of the seed of the woman. That is the work of Jesus Christ. That is the work of Christ reversing the curse. Changing the curse of you and your relationship with others because you are forgiving and you are loving. And lastly, the effects of the creation are reversed. We're told in Revelation 21 that we are to expect a new heaven and a new earth. Paul mentions in Romans chapter 8 that the whole creation, in a sense, is groaning in anticipation of the return of Christ. Paul personifies creation. And it's like that the entire creation is like a kid on Christmas morning. They're waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting on the return of Christ so that the creation will be lifted from the curse. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth that you can enjoy because you will be there with Christ. It is in anticipation of that, that Paul, when he writes to the Colossians, says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord, from the Lord Christ as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you are serving." What's he saying here? The work that you do that sometimes is so, it burdens you so. But that work, Paul says, keep on doing it because it's not in vain. Somehow, some way, the work that you do is working to the glory of Christ. That's why he's got you there. That's why he's put those skills within you to do that job. And somehow, some way that we can't quite understand is that the new earth is going to receive the good work that you have done. Jesus has reversed the effects of the curse, even in our workplace. Your work counts. Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, "Therefore, my brothers, stand firm." When you know that your work counts for Jesus Christ, you can't see it. Oh, can't really feel it at all sometimes. But you know that the scriptures say that it does. This is what Paul writes. He says, "Therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your work in the Lord is not in vain." It's not in vain. Now you may say, "Well, that's for the preacher, the missionary." No. I hope the preacher's included in that. But it's for you. It's for all the work and skills that you have. Do it to the glory of Christ, because it's not in vain. The scripture says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has prepared for those who love him." And somehow, some way, that's connected to your work. Christ's unique superiority over Adam is why we have hope. Hope in having peace within us, having peace with God, hope in having peace with one another, and strange as it may be, having peace with the creation itself. Who among you can reverse the effects of the curse. Ain't in this room. Who among you can cancel the curse? Nope, not here. Where Adam brought death, Christ brings life. Where Adam brought sorrow, Christ brings joy. Where Adam brought chaos to your souls, Christ brings peace to your soul. Where Adam brought futility, Christ brings fruitfulness. Adam has severed us from God. Christ heals the breach and brings us to God. And my friend, that work of Christ is over all things. As we sang this morning, as far as the curse is found, Christ's work is there to heal that breach, to destroy that curse, and to bring you to joy. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that even though there are times that the curse really manifests itself in our life, yet we are thankful to know that Christ has defeated the curse. Oh, Father God, give us a heart to love you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.